This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons at Fenway Park. Andy Hart here alongside Dan Ball.
Hey.
And you heard the call. What a weekend in America's most beloved ballpark. Boy, was I wrong. Dead-ass wrong, I think the kids would call it.
Sure.
Friday, sure. I was down in the doldrums.
You were.
Moping post-trade deadline like a player in past years at Fenway Park, and also because Crochet had been bumped back and I wasn't going to see him. I predicted Cooper Criswell would stink, lay an egg.
I believe the number was two innings you thought he was going to go.
So that was, he pitched two innings. And then a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh.
Right.
Game of his career to kick off maybe the biggest weekend at Fenway Park in recent Red Sox history. And it all came up smelling roses, baby. Second place, first wild card. Look in your rearview mirror and what do you see? That'd be the New York Yankees.
Falling fast.
Three games ahead of you would be the best record in the American League, whether that's the Tigers or the Blue Jays. It is on the horizon. And maybe most importantly, I said this to Dan Ball. I didn't think it was going to be a bombastic take, but I was driving in. We were having a little pre-show conversation.
Yeah.
I said, the most electric environment I've been in at Fenway Park in probably my lifetime. I've been to playoff games. I've been to big games, exciting games, fun games, whatever.
So what made it different? Because I heard that, and that was a little hard to believe.
Well, the environment, and we'll get to some Alex Cora audio later. He talked about, he even thinks maybe some of the music was a little louder and some of the things they control were amped up. But the crowd was tremendous. We talked about it. There were a lot of Astros fans here.
Yes.
As the game wore on, you could not tell. It was a Red Sox home crowd. It was an influential home crowd. The bottom of the ninth was unbelievable. I thought we had a walk-off with Trevor Story's double off the wall. Then that came after Trevor Story made the play at the plate. Right before the top of the 10th, he throws the guy out at the plate, which goes down as a ho-hum play, as a tough play. Couldn't really set his feet, kind of throwing across his body. Kind of reminded me of the Christian Campbell one from a few months ago that he threw to the backstop
when
he didn't set his feet.
Yeah.
You get that out, and then you come out, and the natural, whatever you want to call him, Roman Anthony comes through for you, gets the walk-off, gets chased around, the lights are flashing, the music is playing. The crowd was unbelievable, into everything. And it was not a Dodgers crowd, it was not an Astros crowd, even though there were plenty of Astros fans. They drowned out the Astros fans. And I don't think you can overstate how important that game was. Because I think, and Cooper Criswell said it himself, I don't know if you read this, I don't think too many guys thought we had a chance to win today or I would do that. Like, he was hearing the noise.
Yeah, he ain't wrong.
He knew the expectations for Cooper flipping Criswell taking the mound.
We spent 4 hours on Friday in this very same studio at Fenway talking about how you wanted to boo louder than you had ever booed in your life.
You just
didn't know what you were going to boo or in which direction you were going to send it. But the easiest one was going to be the fill-in, the guy that called up from AAA that was making the spot start, and specifically the guy that was making the spot start for Garrett Crochet, your ace, who would have been very useful to have on the mound, you thought, on Friday, given the magnitude of the game. But we thought there was going to be hell to pay for the Boston Red Sox on Friday. And so to hear that was your main takeaway from being in
best
the stands
ever
on Friday is crazy.
And would be up there with any of the regular season games I've seen in any sport. You know, you can't rank it up there with a ALCS or a World Series or something like that. But any regular season game I've been to, and I've been to a boatload of them at Gillette Stadium in a way, mostly NFL games, obviously, with my background.
Right.
But that environment was unbelievable. And I do, to steal the phrase that the manager likes to say, I do believe they needed that. I do believe that's a crossroads day and night. Like, if you lose a one-run game there, you lose an extra inning game, Oh, we're used to that, right?
Yep.
Oh, it's post-deadline. Oh, we're a little disappointed. We couldn't come through.
An extra bat certainly would have helped this.
Right.
Or an extra high-leverage arm out of the bullpen, whatever it was going to be.
Instead, what you had was good enough. And then what you had was good enough Saturday. And then what you had with, what are they calling him? AM Giolito, Morning Giolito, whatever the hell his new nickname is, because suddenly he's got two starts in a row as a night guy that are great in the morning.
Nasty.
With the Nationals win. Now you've won three in a row. You haven't used Bayo. You haven't used Crochet.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden, and I know we've ridden the roller coaster all year long here on WEEI Afternoons. We've been overly optimistic at times, and last Friday we're probably overly pessimistic as the trade deadline played out.
Yeah.
But this team looks like a team that's ready to compete, that's ready. And I believe in special. Teams are special. Players are special. Vibes are special. There's certain things. This team has a special feel to it, and that game is magnifying the special feel. Even if you look at Roman Anthony, walk-off home run, he's in shallow left center field. Did you notice who had his arm around him?
Trevor Story.
Nope.
No?
Somebody else. His buddy, Marcelo Meyer, who might not play
the good arm or the bad arm?
I think he actually had the bad arm, and there was a brace on or something.
Good Lord.
But like, there's just vibes with this team, and Bregman and Story and the young guys and the old... Oh, do we need a little small ball? Where's Ted Johnson when I need him? He's been calling for small ball all year.
True.
They small balled their way to a run. Bunting? What? The Red Sox don't bunt. Oh, the hell they don't. It was a lot of fun, and I didn't boo once. I squashed, in part, because as you acknowledged, I wasn't sure who to boo and when to boo and how to boo.
I thought maybe the PA guy, if he was truly a homie, you know, he would have said, just added in a little line in the script between, and the manager of the Red Sox is Alex Cora, and then you get the applause, and the chief baseball officer is Craig Breslow, just to let everybody get it out of their system and then you're good
to go. That would have been fair.
Yeah.
He is the guy that should take it, but now he's the guy that stood pat on his team, and we'll get to some of the reports out of Minnesota, how the trade deadline played out, what was true, what wasn't, who they were in on, how close it was, all of those things. But now you're riding high. Now you got a 5-game winning streak.
Yep.
Looking at what should be a 7-game winning streak, right? You believe in your best pitchers. If you win with your less thans, and we need to say something, baseball and life are not fair. Cooper Criswell goes to the mound, gives you 7 innings, and what do you do?
Down.
By the way, you're not on the team anymore.
Yeah.
What? What's going on there? But you use your lesser than back end of the rotation.
Yeah.
You use the bullpen. You have had to use the bullpen. And where are you? In a 5-game winning streak. So I don't know how you can not feel great about the baseball team, the momentum, the atmosphere. This is something that feels special. I know Alex Cora has brought up 2021. I don't want to get too far ahead of my skis, as I am wont to do. There's a guy who's never really skied in his life, but
really?
2001. We got a guy on this show who lived it.
Yeah.
Things happen. Not all things look good at the time or play out. You can sulk for a week or things play out. Last week was a time where it didn't look great on Friday. 3 days later, you know what it looks like? Awesome. Duck boats, baby.
Okay. Well, I'd say
take
a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth for a moment on that one. And I think multiple things can be true. I think it's still fair to argue that come playoff time, because right now you're in the top wild card spot, 3 games back behind the Toronto Blue Jays. You're in a spot where right now you're starting to control your own destiny, which is incredible. I think come season's end, we're still going to argue the same things about the trade deadline that we're arguing right now. You ended up a starter short. Maybe you ended up a bat short. I think it's still fair to say that the complaints that we had on Friday about this team's lack of activity at the deadline are still going to be true. But that special thing is something you can't quantify.
Nope.
I can look for days on FanGraphs and Baseball Savant to try to tell you, here's the number that quantifies special. You just can't do it. It's guys that believe. It's guys that are hitting their stride at the right time. And it's guys that, and I know we're now almost a month or two removed, guys that look like they're playing with a weight off their shoulder and they're playing to their strengths. The guys that are playing small ball on Sunday, Andy, are not players that should be, swinging for the fences every single game. Home run or strikeout,
yep,
which was such an issue with this team at the beginning of the year. I think there's been a change in philosophy pitching-wise, a change in philosophy hitting-wise, and just a change in the energy and who's calling the shots amongst the veterans in the clubhouse, and I think that's kind of what we're seeing.
And there's a yes-sir, can-do coach attitude.
Yes.
Like, there are teams where I think Ref Snyder and Wong and back-to-back games and different things, Narvaez, like you could have wait, why is he getting two in a row? That guy hasn't been good all year. He's got no RBIs. I think this team is all on the same page. I think when Alex Cora, 1-26, even Cooper Criswell, I bet you he was like, okay, I get it. Like, I know what we're doing here. I might be back. I could be back. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think when Alex Cora, and by extension, Breslow, make a move, say something to a guy, it's now, yep, right. Yes, sir. Well, tell me how to do it. Tell me what you want me to do it. Because they believe in the bigger picture. I think they actually believe in the, like, we're all in this to do something beyond the sum of the parts. Because people like us are going to question the sum of the part. Oh, that guy, you barely got a starter. You had to scramble to find and get May and like all these things.
Yeah.
I don't think they look at it that way anymore. I think they trust their manager to start pushing buttons, pulling strings. And I think we all believe when a team is good and when a team is competing for things that matter, Alex Cora is a pretty good manager. He's proven that. Sometimes in the crossroads, it's gone south. And that's fair. That's part of his resume. He's acknowledged that recent August and all that. But I think those inside the clubhouse probably believe in this team more than those outside the clubhouse. And that's something Alex Cora brought up on Friday night when he was talking about the electric environment at Fenway Park. Listen carefully. He likes what he sees, but there was a little passive-aggressive shot at late to the party at the crowd.
A few years ago was the yellow uniforms. Now it's the green ones, you know. So whatever it is, just make it fun again here, you know, make it a madhouse. And the louder, the better. You know, I tip my hat to them because that was a fun atmosphere. This year, I feel like as far as like attendance from the get-go, it's been packed little by little. They're catching up to what's going on here. They've been louder. Even the music was louder since last weekend. But it's fun. It's fun to play. This place like that is fun for us, and it's tough for the opposition.
I think he was talking to me. Little by little, we're catching on to what's going on here. We had our doubts. All-star break, trade deadline. Maybe he's talking to Ted Johnson, his old buddy from Houston. He's also late to the bandwagon.
Yeah.
But that little by little, people are catching on to what's going on. Like, it's always been full, but now they're actually invested in the game, in the environment that they are helping to create.
I mean, to be fair to fans, though, what were we given that was any kind of evidence to believe in this team before they started playing like a team that was worth believing in? Like, were we supposed to, after the post-2021 debuild of the Boston Red Sox, just blindly say, this year with a bunch of guys who are playing their first, second, and third seasons in baseball, yeah, here's my whole heart. I'm ready to have it torn out again.
Like, fair.
I'm not willing to say, oh, you guys should have been here from day one. You guys should have been proving that you were worth rooting for from day one. I don't feel bad about the way that the wave of optimism has kind of grown because now they're starting to play like a team that deserves my optimism after multiple years of not earning it.
And in this year in particular, they've had spurts of both. And I would agree with you in some sense. Well, if you're not going to know how to run the bases and you're not going to know how to play defense and you're going to strike out 16 times in a game, why exactly am I supposed to be electric? Why exactly am I supposed to be buying in? And then you had some other things. The Devers situation, his attitude, the trade, that. Bregman's injury, unfortunately, is sort of a deflating aspect of this team. Some of those things. Even Christian Campbell, like one of those young guys you're referencing, right out the gates, he's great. Now he's back in Worcester.
Yeah.
So there's been these kind of, I don't want to say mixed messaging, but like mixed messaging based on the circumstances.
Right.
Like the way it makes you
feel.
They're
here. Oh, you know, they're not. They're too young. Oh, they're great. Oh, they're stupid. Oh, they're good. Oh, now they're injured. That kind of thing. There's just been too many things on the roller coaster that we've had to deal with in years past as well, where I couldn't fully commit.
Right.
Yeah. Now you are 100% hand up accountability. Now you are earning my trust and my optimism and my fandom because you're putting it together consistently day after day.
And I no longer hope. Our buddy Lou Maloney used this change of words early in the year. He said, there's no more hope. It's expectation.
Yes.
For the season.
Right.
At times during the season, I don't know, the expectation, I think, faded, right? For various reasons that
we just
spoke of.
Yeah.
I think you're back now. Most Red Sox fans are expecting this team to go to the playoffs and be a potentially tough out, as they would say.
Yeah.
A dangerous baseball team.
They have a little bit of Cinderella feel to them.
Yes.
A little Arizona Diamondbacks from a couple years ago where you get in as a wild card, but you just have it, whatever it is going to be. And the question will just be the depth once they get there.
And I think what Cora was referencing there, if we get in and we have a little it, Well, the crowd can be an additional it and
right.
make it tough on some night in October here at Fenway Park. And you help. You know, yes, we need Roman Anthony to get the big hit. Yes, we need guys to the pitching staff to do their job. But if you can give us an environment that is uncomfortable, I think he said, for the opponent.
Yes.
That can help us do something special in October. And it's been a while since we've had that. Half a decade here since you've had the
no
feeling
kidding.
Of October baseball.
It feels longer.
It does.
Doesn't it?
Pause.
And a journey to get here.
617-779-7937. We weren't the only ones, though. Let's go to the phone lines early because I want people to react to what they saw this weekend. We all reacted. And if we're all going to be honest with ourselves, we were negative on Friday. We were about 95% negative, save for a few supporters. Well, I think we're all probably 95% positive. So let's go to Jay in Rhode Island and what he thought about the atmosphere Friday night at Fenway. What's up, Jay?
It was unbelievable, Andy. You were totally on point with pretty much everything. The weather was amazing. Criswell was, you know, I mean, who would expect he'd give a 7? That was great. The atmosphere was electric. I took my grown kids there, and they had an amazing time. It was so fun. And it's also nice to hear the happy Andy Hart, not the guy I talked to last Thursday when I told you to take a chill pill.
Thanks for the call, Jay. I just react to what I see.
Yeah.
I'm an emotional guy. Dan Ball talks about this all the time. He knows what I'm bringing to the station every day, right?
Yep.
Energy.
Yes.
Emotion.
Yes.
Now, whether it's good or bad and needs to be reined in which direction, and Ted, I think, fights this battle. Jesus, what's the bipolar Andy going to bring to the table today? That's what I do. I react to what I see. When you give me that environment, and again, not just a run-of-the-mill game on a run-of-the-mill night against a run-of-the-mill team. This wasn't the Rockies, was it?
No, it was not.
Astros, right?
Yeah, it was the Astros. Not the Rockies, not the Nationals, not even the Rays.
Astros are a first-place baseball team?
They are indeed, yeah.
Okay, and they're also a rival, a contender, a thing, sort of, in recent baseball for the Red Sox and others?
They're almost a bigger rival in the last, call it, 5 years than the Yankees at this
okay.
point. Like, you've had, or even 10 years, you've had some incredible battles with them, and you got two of their best in Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez.
And that came directly after what we thought might be sort of a clubhouse-wide kick in the cojones, right?
The Red Sox had every opportunity to fold on Friday in this series and prove like, yeah, you know what? They didn't do it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Anything, we're kind of pretenders. Every opportunity to do it.
And instead, they went out there and swept the Astros. Something they hadn't done, what'd you say, in a number of years.
2013. And you know who recorded the last out of that sweep? Andrew Bailey.
So this is the Bailey magic.
That's right.
He was there that
Bailey
day,
full circle.
There this day.
That's
boom.
Right.
And all you people wanted to fire him midseason when the pitching staff was terrible. No, I do think that something special built over the weekend. Now, the bottom can fall out.
Yeah.
You go lose 5 in a row and we forget quickly. It's what we said. But they avoided that. And if we want to rewind a little bit further, the weekend's great. But when you salvaged the 6-6, the famous Ted Johnson 6-6, 500 out of the All-Star break into the trade deadline, you salvaged a little something. You didn't go in the tank. You didn't go down the toilet there. And I think that's big leading into the trade deadline. And then out of the trade deadline, you win. You have some momentum. And the stupid little thing, speaking of, you know, special teams sometimes have gimmicks or celebrate. The airplane thing from the throw-up fight?
I'm so glad you brought this up.
It's become a thing.
Yes, because before we were trying to diagnose, is it like the eating, like Zeke Elliott, or was it the film, like this is a movie, whole that kind of thing. We don't know where it came from. We don't know the meeting. We don't know who started it. It was kind of just, all right, there's celebration. We were ranking it, and it was nowhere close to the laundry cart or some of the other things.
Right.
Even the Wally head. This, we know exactly where it came from. We know it seemed to be an experience that bonded them together. And now you see them on second base. They do it. You see them when they're around the bases on a home run. They do it. You see the dugout. They're all doing it. It's awesome. It's just, to your point, it's another little thing that makes you go, oh, This group has a little, they have a lot of reasons for me to really like what's going on right now.
A little symbolism. They literally threw up all over themselves on the flight to Minnesota to avoid throwing up on themselves in a figurative sense. Right. And now it's sort of become that lightning rod or message of this team. 617-779-7937. How we feeling 3 days later about the Boston Red Sox? Trade deadline is gone. They didn't do what we wanted them to do, but then they went out and won three games. And they have Bayo and Crochet on the horizon. Things are looking up in Red Sox Nation. We are here at Fenway Park in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. Brought to you by your New England Ford dealers in the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. 617-779-7937. Your calls on the sprinting Red Sox toward the postseason, baby. I said duck boats. Dan said not so fast. Am I getting a little ahead of myself? Your calls next as we react to a great weekend of baseball at Fenway Park. But first, Dan Ball, what's trending?
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox completed the series sweep over the Houston Astros yesterday afternoon with a 6-1 win at Fenway Park. It's the first Red Sox series sweep against the Astros since April 25th through the 28th of 2013. Boston is now 11 games over 500 for the first time in 3 years. They're currently in second place in the AL East, 3 games back of the Blue Jays, and 1.5 clear of the Yankees. The Red Sox begin a 3-game series against the Kansas City Royals tonight at Fenway. First pitch is at 7:10. Brian Bayo will start opposite Bailey Falter. And you can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan begins at 6:10. And Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. The Patriots completed day 10 of training camp earlier today. As announced by the team, the statue unveiling of Tom Brady on Friday is set for 6 p.m. The Patriots preseason game against the Commanders will kick off at 7:30. From around the league, the Dolphins, defensive tackle Zach Sealer agreed to a 3-year extension that makes him the team's highest paid defensive player, and the NFL Players Association has elected David White as its interim executive director 17 days after Lloyd Howell Jr. resigned. New Celtic minority owner Steve Pagliuca released a statement confirming an offer has been made to buy the WNBA's Connecticut Sun and move it out of Mohegan Sun Arena. He did say that there are still approvals that had not been obtained from the league to this point. And Cameron Young became the 1,000th player to win a recognized PGA Tour event after winning the Wyndham Championship. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live from Fenway Park coming up right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.